The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakara. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Tonight is the 30th, Dhul Hajjah 1445 Hijri. Maktabatul Madinah's booklet, Blessings of Salat and Salam, page 11, Saying of the Final Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, number 30. When you recite Salat upon the Blessed Prophets, recite Salat upon me too. Undoubtedly, I am the Rasul of the Rabb of all the worlds. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in your court is that if a peasant sweats while praying, can they clean it with their clothes? And if some sweat falls on the Quran whilst reciting it, then what will be the ruling regarding this? Also, please provide some guidance in regards to saving oneself from sweat. Kindly bless me and my family with du'as.
The sweat of a human is pure. And if some sweat of a person falls on the Quran by itself, it's fine and there's no disrespect in it. As for the issue of wiping off sweat whilst offering salah, it is mentioned in Bahari Shariat, Volume 1, page number 631, ruling number 41. When needed, wiping sweat from the forehead. In fact, every such amal qaleel, which is beneficial for the praying person, is permissible, and that which is not beneficial is makruh. Makruh here refers to makruh tanzihi, meaning that there is an element of dislike in it. For example, out of arrogance, someone wiped off sweat from their forehead. This will render salah makruh tahrimi. It's impermissible and sin. And if it was wiped off just for the sake of it, then remember that lifting the hand three times in one position breaks the salah. Now, if someone wipes off sweat whilst offering salah, if it was done through amali qalil, meaning a minor action, then it's fine, there's no harm in it. But if the person wipes off sweat in salah through amali kathir, meaning major action even once, then the salah will break. And if the action was performed through amali qaleel and not amali kathir, which are both opposite to each other, then the salah will not break. Now let's say if someone wipes off their sweat in this way by leaning to one side, another person seeing him would presume that he is not in the state of salah, or he gets a predominant presumption that the person is not in the state of salah. Such an action is called amali kathir, a major action. So an amal kathir in salah is an invalidator of salah. It's an action that breaks and invalidates the salah. And if an action is not amal kathir, it is then called amal qalil. And amal qalil does not break and invalidate salah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
It is observed at times that people sit right in the entrance of the masjid. What this does is that those who come after them face difficulty in going forward in the masjid, which leads to a crowd of people in the entrance of the masjid during khutbah. Now, how can those who come after go forward?
If the khutbah has started, then whoever came for the salah, it is necessary for them that as soon as they entered the masjid, not in the fanai masjid, in the masjid, then he is not to proceed any forward. He is to sit there. This is what is written in the books. But a case of difficulty seems to arise here, that if all the people start to sit in the entrance of the masjid, then this will lead to a big problem. So people should sit in such a manner where they are considerate enough to ensure that the entrance and exit pathways are not blocked and people are not troubled, otherwise this can lead to arguments as well, which can cause problems.
It is not specific to only khutbah. There are many people with different kinds of intentions that they have. Allah Almighty knows best about the intentions that they have in their heart, as they especially sit by the entrance, so that they can be the first one in leaving the masjid as soon as the Imam says salam. So there are a large number of people who offer salah right by the entrance of the masjid for this purpose as well, so that they can leave the masjid as soon as the Imam has performed salam. This has also been observed.
And there's a set class of people who are used to this practice, whereas coming in the masjid and getting the first row is an act of immense reward. We find such content in a hadith that if you come to know that what is in the first row, then people would draw lots for it. So that's how they would decide that who would get the first row. In Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, had people known that what is there in Adhan and Safi Awwal, meaning first row, then they wouldn't get it without drawing lots. So for this purpose, they would draw lots. I will pray in the first row. No, I will pray in the first row. Alright then, let's draw lots to see who will. Only the lucky people will have this opportunity of praying in the first row. Well, that's how many people would attend back then. Nowadays, the first row is empty. The row starts to form in the second, third or fourth row in the big masjid. People start standing in the corners in the rows. An announcement needs to be made again and again for them. And still a set class of people don't come forward. Imam Ahmad Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that had people known that how much reward there is in calling out the adhan, then sword would be used in this matter. Meaning they would use sword among themselves to decide. They would fight that I would call out the adhan, no I will. So how persuasive, encouraging and beautiful a hadith they are that increases one's passion to call out the adhan and offer salah in the first row. But we are so neglectful and it seems as if we will never heed advice no matter what. On the other hand, if someone offers us that for calling out adhan, you'll get money, then there's a possibility of dispute among people that who will call out the adhan. And if a generous monetary offer is given to people for offering all five salahs in masjid, then a crowd of people would come and gather here to get the first row. They will stay here and not leave as they'll get money now. But do it for reward. Millions and billions of pounds on one side and one pious deed on one side. Millions and billions of pounds cannot buy one pious deed that you may buy deeds from others in exchange of money. You can't. Pious deeds cannot be purchased. Allah. Reward for free. I said Allah. You will reap reward with the dhikr of Allah, with the remembrance of Allah, by praying, by fasting. You can't buy good deeds with money, but you can perform them with money. Yes. You may help a poor person. The zakat that is due on you, that is fard on you, pay that zakat. In this you gave money. But this wouldn't be called buying good deeds. You obeyed Allah Almighty. You spent in a noble cause, you will get this reward. Alhamdulillah, that era is now gone. Adhan will only be called out only if money is paid. I've even seen to the extent that there are people who charge per adhan as well. Like one adhan would be this much and five adhans would be this much. And then there was that era. Back then there were no salaries for calling out adhan. No salary for the imam or the muadhin. People had a greed, i.e. urge to earn reward. As in they would try to excel one another that I would give adhan, no I will call out the adhan. And nowadays it is like, no I won't give the adhan, you give the adhan. No, no, you call out the adhan. No, I'm shy, please you call out the adhan. So is it that the one who calls out the adhan, he is not modest? There should be an element of fear of Allah. These are very sensitive and critical times. The time now is very sensitive. So before there wouldn't be any salary for the imam, neither for the muadhin. People would do so out of passion. They would be eligible as well for it. They were pious, who possessed knowledge. That's how much knowledge they possessed. And nowadays, people are so distant from knowledge that you can't even see a limit. The situation is very worse. Where's the limit? To their ignorance. After acquiring worldly knowledge, you say that now I'm sorted. It may be for you, but people are stumbling. Sorted were those who made things easy for the Ummah today. They wrote voluminous books for us. There were No pens like today or the facilities that authors have today. Back in those days, they would write on things like leather, leaves, etc. And with this difficulty, they authored voluminous books for us. And such books exist even in today's day and age, which in the Urdu language are called makhtutat as a plural and makhtuta as singular. They are handwritten manuscripts. Now they are kept in the museums. Who will publish them? Some were published as well. You will find so many volumes of these manuscripts and books. Some even comprise of 30, 35, 40 volumes, and each volume being very big. Now, reading these books is beyond the capability of people of nowadays. People don't read. How would they write? That's how eager they were for Islamic knowledge. And the state of those who would read the books was such that they would read the handwritten books. They would get hold of them and take them. They would read it turn by turn. It would even be said about them that they would eat the books. This is a proverb which means that they would read the book so thoroughly and duly. Their memory was also so strong that they would commit it to memory. And now, we've become developed. What development? They were the ones who were developed. Those who would perform the dhikr of Allah Almighty, those who submitted themselves in Allah's court, those who attained the ranks of divine proximity. And now things are very different, they've gone very worse. Now, indeed people are excelling, but they're running towards the hellfire. People of the past would excel towards paradise, only if we attain their sadaqah. May Allah also make us pious, and we get a mindset of piety. The current day development and progress that we deem as such is not in reality development and progress, meaning the one that doesn't help us to acquire Allah's pleasure, with a few exceptions of course. But I'm talking generally that this is not the progress that would make us successful in the court of Allah. Those people were developed and progressive, for whom we find shrines today. While the states of the graves of so-called developed people today are pitiful. When a very wealthy and rich businessman dies, thousands of people attend his funeral. Why? Because they all held him esteemed? No. Just to impress their children, to get something, or to keep their business terms intact with them, etc. This is their interest. And when we see a huge number of devotees in the funerals and the shrines of awliya, what personal interest do they have? The reverence, the love that for their sake, we succeed. And people do. Someone saw Sayyiduna Bishr Hafi, Rahmatullah alayh, in his dream after his passing, and asked what matter took place with you. And he replied that, I was told that whoever attended, my funeral has also been forgiven. And I requested that dear Allah increase it. Even more shower more mercy. So eventually it was said that, O Bishr, whoever loves you, he is also forgiven. Alhamdulillah, we love Bishr Hafi. Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayh was a highly ranked wali. We all love the honorable awliya of Allah, alhamdulillah. Never leave Dawat Islami. It instills the love of the awliya in us and embeds it deeply in our heart, alhamdulillah. It annihilates us in the love of the honorable sahaba and the esteemed Ahlul Bayt. So do not leave Dawat Islami. The way the love of the Prophet is harbored in the hearts here, give me one example if it is found elsewhere too. Dawat-e-Islami is yours. Make sure never to leave Dawat-e-Islami. Never at all. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah is that a person initially commits a sin. After performing the sin, the person becomes remorseful and regrets over committing the sin. And then he repents over it. But after repenting, he commits the sin again, and he does so frequently. After sinning so frequently, his state becomes such that now neither does he fear committing the sin, nor does he develop any feelings of remorse or guilt over it. If a person develops such a state, now what should he do? Please provide some guidance for such kind of a person.
When a person commits a sin, a black dot is formed on his heart. This is the summary of what's mentioned in hadith. So, when a person repents, then that black dot gets erased. He sins again and then again. A black dot is formed on his heart. And then the person keeps sinning and sinning, which keeps increasing the black dots on the heart, which keeps spreading all over the heart, which eventually then turn the entire heart dark and black. Now, the situation that you have mentioned, it is very critical and dangerous to say the least, as when the heart becomes hard, Advice then doesn't carry any effect. He is at the doorstep of destruction. However, do not despair and one should not lose hope. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, the hearts get rusted as well. The way iron gets rusted by coming in contact with water. It was asked that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would cleanse it? He replied, by remembering death frequently and by the recitation of the Quran. The word rust has been used here and the wordings of the black dot are also found. Anyhow, for the cleansing and the purity of the heart, remembrance of death and the recitation of Quran are very beneficial. How can a person who remembers death at all times commit a sin? They'll fear only if we can remember our death. Whoever remembers their death 20 times a day, there's rank of martyrdom for them. They'll die as martyr.
In relation to the hadith of a black dot appearing on the heart, at the end of it, the same words as the verse of the Quran are mentioned. Meaning certainly not, rather that which they had earned has covered their hearts with rust. So after the black dot appears, it turns into rust, and the cure for it, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned, as you stated.
So the person's mindset is to get cured from sins. It signifies that the matters are not out of hands yet. The person wants to be reformed. For this, the person should perform sincere repentance. The person may offer 2 units of Salatul Tawbah, and repenting thereafter is most appropriate. So repent in this way. When a person repents in the court of Allah Almighty, the doors of His mercy are always open. Meaning that if someone repents once, twice, 10 times or even 1,000,000 times, their repentance is accepted. The mercy of Allah is very big, very vast. But in this, it does not mean that at the time of repenting, a person has this mindset that even after 1,000,000th repentance, it will be accepted. So let me commit one more sin and then I'll repent again. It doesn't mean this. Committing sin with the intention of repenting is even more dangerous. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah has written in his book Mir'atul Manajih that committing sin with the intention of repenting is disbelief. It is very dangerous to disobey Allah intentionally with the intention of repenting thereafter. A worldly example is that a person slaps another person and then says, sorry, but I'm about to punch. So the intention of punching to harm is there. So after punching, I'm very sorry. And in the back of the mind, the intention is to kick. So after you said sorry the last time, you kicked the other person with full force. Now you decide yourself that until when would your sorry work? The other person will also retaliate. This was a worldly example to explain you. As for Allah, He knows the states of our hearts. If someone commits a sin and disobeys Him, and this intention is in his heart that he will commit that sin again, and after committing the sin, I will repent again, then this is the most dangerous of things that a person can do. As to commit a sin with the intention of repenting is disbelief. A noble saint says that, O the committer of sin, do not be deceived, for the sin not to appear and for no one to see it. Any time will can be lifted from the sins that you committed in secrecy. And do not take shelter of Allah's forbearance. The punishment of Allah Almighty can suddenly seize you. Rather, you should be saddened, grieved, embarrassed and remorseful. And you should shed tears and implore in the court of Allah. Develop this approach as an embedded part of your character. If there's anything beneficial in this regard, it is remorsefulness and repentance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We are receiving questions through social media as well, where Brother Afzal has asked a question that how is it to develop the habit of reciting only one tasbih in ruku and sajda?
Reciting tasbih only one sin, ruku and sujood, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, is makruh tanzihi. And making a habit of it is not appropriate at all, as leaving a sunnah practice is not praiseworthy at all. Regarding this, it is written in Bahari Shariat that the minimum level in ruku and sujood to say the tasbih is at least 3 times, so it should be said at least 3 times. As in number less than this, the sunnah will not be fulfilled. And it is superior to say it more than 3 times, but it should be in an odd number. For example, 5, 7, 9. So it should be in an odd number. However, if there's an imam and the people offering salah behind him face difficulty, then the imam shouldn't recite more. Furthermore, it's narrated in Hilya on the authority of Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu an that it is mustahab, i.e. preferable, for the imam to recite tasbihat 5 times. So it is better if the imam also recites the tasbihat 5 times. A hadith narrated by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is that whenever anyone performs ruku' and says Subhana Rabbi al-Azim 3 times, then their ruku' gets completed. And this is the least level, meaning the minimum level. And when a person performs sajda and recites Subhana Rabbi al-A'la 3 times, then the sajda gets complete. And this is the least, meaning minimum level. And there is a beautiful fatwa of Darul Ifta Ahle Sunnat in relation to ruku' and sujood. Reciting tasbihat 3 times at least in ruku' and sujood is sunnah, right? 3 times. The tasbih of ruku' is Subhana Rabbi al-Azim and of sajda is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So reciting them 3 times is sunnah. And for the imam it is superior to recite it 5 times. So that the people offering salah behind can easily recite it at least 3 times. And tasbihat in addition to 5 times, this is for the imam, so he should not recite it more than 5 times. As people will fall into difficulty, or they may fall into difficulty, and putting them into difficulty and hardship is not correct and appropriate. If it is a case where reciting tasbihat 5 times by the imam makes the people fall into difficulty, whereby it becomes a burden for them, then the imam should suffice only on 3, thereby fulfilling the sunnah practice. A beautiful summary is presented in this fatwa in Latifa Hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Question from Humat Sharif. He is asking that how is it to say that how will we enter hell? As there is no space in hell, those who entered before us are sitting on the walls of hell.
Is the question how will we enter hell? As there is no space?
Yes, there is no space in hell.
What if one is thrown before them then? Don't you think this risk is also there? This is like making fun of hell. And the Honorable Mufti Sahib is saying it's disbelief. It is disbelief to make fun of paradise or to make fun of hell.
I shall most definitely fill hell. Hell will be filled with disobedient people and making such kind of joke that how will we enter hell? May Allah forbid, this statement also negates the power of Allah.
Mufti Sahib, we have discussed this topic before as well, and we are discussing it again today. This is a very important topic, and I would address all Islamic brothers and all Islamic sisters. Please, be wary, as social media trend is on rise and you will see that people are uploading all sorts of videos. They carry out all sorts of discussions and conversations. They don't care about what they're uttering. They say whatever they want to. They have no manners, no etiquettes. Their word choice is appalling. They use inappropriate words and expressions for Allah Almighty, for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, for the other prophets, for the Honorable Sahaba, for the esteemed awliya, those who love Allah and His Messenger, and the Honorable Sahaba and the esteemed Ahlul Bayt, they should realize that this approach is very inappropriate. You would see people uttering whatever they want without any care or consideration. They utter disbelief and many other absurd statements. People initially just listen to those addresses, which then hold them into further destruction. Please bring yourself back on track. Save yourself from this very fitna of social media. People appearing on social media adopt various kinds of approaches and ways. May Allah Almighty protect your and my faith. We should feel pitiful of ourselves and have mercy on our grave and hereafter. and all these kinds of videos that become a cause and means of spreading evil. All the videos that destroy a person's religion, faith, and character. All such kinds of images and writings. Save yourself from them.
May Allah Almighty grant afiyah, grant well-being. In the Quran, Allah states, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمْ I shall most definitely fill hell. When Allah has made promise, then everyone would certainly fit into it. The person made fun of Jahannam in the statement asked in the question. The person needs to repent and embrace Islam again. If the person was married, then the marriage is broken as well. May Allah Almighty not make us fuel of hell. Those who will be admitted in hell, may Allah not include us among them. May we attain salvation from it. We will, inshallah, be in the feet of the Prophet in paradise. Inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakirah.